What a thing! When the roll is called up yonder, Arthur Garnt is going to be there. Are you going to be there? Now, our subject this afternoon, stormy weather. We've all been either exposed or reminded of stormy weather, the tsunamis, the mudslides, the snowdrifts, the storms, the floods, the volcanoes, and the tornadoes. Stormy weather. And we have experienced it, if not personally, at least by way of information. Isaiah chapter 57, please. Isaiah chapter 57. Verse 20. Stormy weather. Isaiah 57, verse 20. The wicked are like the troubled sea. Isn't that a storm? When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. That's a storm. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. We are in a spiritual storm. When our Lord was here, he said there will be wars and rumors of wars. Is that true? He said that nation would be against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Since World War II, there have been at least 20 different wars, not skirmishes, genuinely wars. There is a storm. Violence on every hand. It isn't safe to walk alone in many neighborhoods. Imagine a little girl in the home of her grandmother and a bullet comes through and kills her. There's a storm. We're in a storm. The abortion storm. The drug addiction storm, alcoholism, racial storms, the arms race. I just heard the other day that they have now a 50 caliber rifle that can shoot 500 feet away and hit its object. And the nations are building up arms. What are they building them for? And going into space. Oh, that space race. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. I haven't read this anywhere. It's just something that I believe the Lord has revealed to me. You remember in Revelation 17 we read, war in heaven, Gabriel and his angels, and Antichrist and his angels. I believe that's what this arms build-up is all about. They're getting ready to fight the Lord. A storm. Pleasure. That's another stormy area. Ecumenicism. Every religion is all right. Believe everything. Humanism. Oh my, that's a real storm. A story is told of a man who was in Africa. And in the forest, there came a bear after him. He's a humanist now. Doesn't believe in God. But he prayed, "Oh God, don't help the bear and don't help me. I'll take care of the bear." Who do you think won? That's right. There is a storm, a spiritual storm. Oh, dishonesty. Recently, they have been calling our attention to dishonesty in the press. Dishonesty in big business. The CEOs, all of them are being chopped down, as it were. We are in the midst of a storm. A spiritual storm. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. Mark 4:35. The same day when even was come, the Lord said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the stern part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared greatly and said one to another, What manner of man is this? Chapter 6, please. Verse 45. Another storm. Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side unto Bethesda while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. He saw them toiling and rowing. The wind was contrary as a storm. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking on the sea and desired to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said, Be of good cheer, it is I. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Spiritual storm. We read of two storms. One in Mark chapter 4, one in Mark chapter 6. But notice, they were in the will of the Lord. The Lord told them to go into those ships. How do you explain that? You could understand that you're in trouble if you disobey the Lord. But you mean to tell me you're in the will of the Lord and he allows a storm? How do you explain that? John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 33, they were obedient to the Lord and found themselves in a storm. How do you explain it? John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now, in the world you shall have tribulation, testing, problems, cares. We are guaranteed trouble, pain, testings in the world. Why does God test us? Why does he put us through the fire? Not to burn us, to purify us. Why does he put us through the waters? not to drown us, but to cleanse us. And so while walking in obedience to the Lord, we're going to have storms. Let's look at one brother, dear brother Paul, man of God, 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 11. And we've just been hearing about him in the Sunday school lesson. A man of God, walking in the will of God. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 24. Mark you, he's obedient. He's in the will of God. 11:24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I ask you, child of God, how many stripes have you received? We've been blessed in this land. There are believers throughout the world who are receiving stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Have you ever been beaten? Paul was. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. Perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea. This man was in a storm, wasn't he? But he was obedient. Why then was he in the storm? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger. Have you ever been hungry and couldn't get a meal? The only meals that I can remember not eating are the meals that I didn't want. I was never starving. Paul was. But read with me again. Oh, this time, Acts chapter 5. In the will of God, but the weather is stormy. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And laid their hands on the apostles. Were the apostles in the will of God? Yes. And put them in the common prison. Imprisoned while walking in the will of God. Chapter 12, please. In the world you shall have tribulation, trouble, problems. Chapter 12, please. Verse 1. Two of God's servants, both of them in the will of God. Now let's read. Acts 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. What had James done? Was James disobedient? He was in the storm. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending to keep him after Passover and bring him forth to the people. two servants of God in a storm. Not because they were disobedient. One is killed and the other is not. How do you explain it? How do you explain it? Hebrews chapter 11, please. In the world you shall have storms, tribulation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Stormy weather. And God's people have been facing storms even in Old Testament times. Hebrews 11, verse 32. What shall I say more? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon. You remember him? He didn't do anything wrong. But did he face a storm? Yes. Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. You remember that? Three Hebrew boys. They didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, they stood up for the truth and found themselves in fire. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the enemy. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Tortured. We spoke last time of Antiochus, Epiphanes, and how he desecrated the temple. He was a great torturer. And one day he took 11 of the Jewish people, seven brothers, set before them pork to eat, which he knew they should not eat. He said to them, "Eat. If you fail to eat, I will kill you on the spot." They looked back at their mother, and the mother said, "Don't eat." And he killed them right there in the eyes of his mother. Stormy, but they were in the will of God. Others had cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stones sawn asunder. It is said that Isaiah the prophet was sawn in two. What did he do? He was preaching the word of God to the cheap people around. And in the storm, he was sawn in two. Others were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute and afflicted. The Lord's people have often faced a storm. And beloved, let me tell you this, we may yet face a storm right in this nation. And we'll see why. And then we all have personal storms in our lives, don't we? And among those personal storms that I find most disturbing, unsaved relatives. And I'm thinking of one, I've never seen such a proud boy. His family sent us a picture recently during the Christmas holidays. And there was he in the picture. Head up, big smile on his face, and going to hell. That hurts. That's it. That's a storm. But notice what we read in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. They're in the storm. The Lord said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Fear is trust in Satan. Faith is trust in God. We are not to fear in the midst of the storm. I almost feel like apologizing, but I can't help myself. I know I'm turning to a lot of scriptures, but as I've told you, I don't know of any other way to administer the word. 1 Peter chapter 5. Fear. 1 Peter chapter 5. Why should we not fear? Verse 7. Casting all your care, all your anxiety, all your problems upon him. Now Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter. Cast your care on him. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Cast not away your confidence. Cast your care on him, but don't cast away your confidence. And how often we cast our confidence away and carry our care. That's the mistake we make. You've heard the story of the man that was walking along with a heavy load. And as he was walking along, another man came. These were a long time ago. Didn't have automobiles then. This man came with a horse and a cart. And as he saw this man with the heavy load, he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to such and such a place. He said, come into the wagon. I'm going that way, I'll take you. This man gladly came into the wagon, and the driver proceeded. And then he noticed that this man still had the load on his shoulder. And he said, why do you keep the load on your shoulder? And this man said, it's so kind of you to carry me, I don't want to burden the horse with the load. And that's what we do when we carry our cares. We ought to cast our cares upon him. First Peter, he cares for us. He cares for us. Matthew chapter 10, please. Stormy weather. Stormy weather. But he cares for us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall to the ground without your father's knowledge and consent. Little sparrow, little bird. And every one of them that falls to the ground, the Lord knows. Verse 31. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. Even when we are in the midst of the storm, he cares for us. I'll come back, please, to Mark chapter 6. verse 48, there they are in the midst of a storm. It says in verse 48, he saw them toiling.
Oh, I like that part.
Do you know, and I know you know, but we must realize that in all of the storms of life, he sees us. He went up into the mountains to pray, and he looked down and saw them. You think he prayed for them? And he is, as we read in Hebrews, in heaven, interceding for me and for you. The weather may be stormy. We didn't read it in Matthew, but it's there. The hairs of your head are numbered. Do you know how many hairs are in your head? And the Lord knows how many hairs are in each head here and worldwide. You know, when I think of that, that's mind-boggling. How could you know how many hairs are? It's enough to know how many hairs are in one or two heads, but all the heads of all the people in the world? All I can do is bow down and say, thank you, Lord. I remember years ago, based on this scripture, that our hairs are numbered. In a course in physiology, I decided that I would count the number of hairs on a human scalp. Now, don't ask me what the number was. It was wrong anyway. It was wrong because I started out with the wrong assumption. I started out that if I took a little area of scalp and counted every hair in there and then multiply that by the total area of the scalp, I'd get the right answer. But who is to say that every area in the scalp has the same number of hairs? But God knows. That thrills me. A God that knows that, and he's my God. It's so interested in me, he knows every hair in my head. Does Jesus care? Up in the mountain, he looked down and he saw them in the storm. And child of God, in the midst of the storms around, as he looks down from heaven above, he knows. We read in Hebrews, he is in heaven interceding for us. He knows our problems. And he cares for us. Now I'm going to ask you to come back again to Mark chapter 6. I left out this verse. Verse 48, I left out this part of the verse. He saw them toiling in rowing. The wind was contrary. Oh, now note. About the fourth hour of the night, he cometh to them. Why didn't he come the third hour? The third watch. Why didn't he come the first watch? In the Roman world at that time, the night was divided into four watches. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That was watch number one. 9 p.m. to midnight, watch number two. Midnight to 3 a.m., watch number three. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., watch number four. He came in the fourth watch. Why the fourth watch? That is the watch in which night workers tend to fall asleep. And he's saying to us, it's the fourth watch. Stay awake. I am with you I'm watching over you. The most difficult watch to stay awake is the fourth watch, and that's when he came to them. And beloved, we are now in the fourth watch. Stay awake. Don't be discouraged. I remember years ago in one of the hospitals in which I worked, there was a nursing supervisor. She was supervisor of nurses, and she worked from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. Her name was Miss Ward. I can see her now. And from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m., she stayed in her office. But at that last watch, she got up out of that office and she made her rounds and was famous for catching nurses asleep. And she had a way of doing it. She'd be on the second floor, Ward 1. You would think logically if she's on the second floor in Ward 1, she'd go to Ward 2 next. No, no. She went to the fourth floor, Ward 3, and was all over the hospital during the fourth watch. Caught many a nurse asleep. The need to watch. Turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 2. We are not only in the last watch, but we are in another last. We are in another last. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Now, many of your Bibles, the old King James, will read, "Little children, it is the last time." The better translation is, "Little children, it is the last hour." The last hour of the last watch. And as you've heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now, way back in Paul's, in John's time, there were many antichrists. Do you know there are many antichrists in the world today? And some of them, in this nation, if they had their way, they'd kill every one of us right in here. We talk about a storm. It's only the hand of the Lord that is withholding them. Whereby ye know that it is the last hour. Beloved, this is the last hour of the last watch. Stay awake. Romans. The last hour. Romans chapter 13. The last hour of the last watch. Jesus appeared and came to them when? In the last watch. We're in the last watch. He's coming. As a matter of fact, I like to think he's on the way. Oh, yes, he's coming. Is everybody here ready for him? Everybody ready? My brother after me, he's now with the Lord. And he took the coming of the Lord very seriously. And from time to time, just a little fellow, he would go to the bedroom of my parents to see if they were there. And his thought was, if he saw them going up, he'd grab them. So he'd go up with them. But it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. You individually must be ready for him at his coming. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Don't sleep, beloved. It's the fourth watch. The last hour of the fourth watch. This is not time to sleep. High time to wake out of sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. We're at the end of the last hour, the last watch. What then should we be doing? 1 Corinthians 16 and 3. We're in the last hour of the last watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 13. Watch! That's what the Lord requires of us. That we watch. Don't fall asleep. That's the big danger that we faced in the last session. The last watch. Watch. Stay awake. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want to emphasize it. We are in the last watch, the last hour of the last watch. We need to stay awake and watch. Oh, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 6, bearing in mind that it is the last watch and the last hour, verse 6 says, let us not sleep as others. Let us watch and be sober. Watch. Almost all the stories and illustrations that I give happened years ago. Well, this was another one that happened years ago. On a Friday night, I remember it distinctly. I was on emergency duty. And near the emergency room, there was another room where prisoners were kept temporarily until they could be disposed of. And here this officer, big 6'3" fellow. Oh, he was big. And he brought this little fellow a prisoner. And they were in the prison ward. And as I passed by, I noticed that the officer was asleep. And I said to myself, I wonder if I should go and wake him up. Then I said, if I go and wake him up, the prisoner's awake, he's liable to jump on me. Well, the Lord delivered me. Just then the sergeant walked in. And the sergeant took his nightstick and poked the officer and asked this question. Who is watching who? Yeah. That officer was not watching. Again, there is a story told of a fishing village. Fishing was the chief way of earning an income. And the fish in that particular area, because of the heavy fishing, were very few. And so the fishermen said to their wives, "We've got to go out to sea to catch more fish. We'll be back in 4 days." And on the fourth day they were returning, and here were all of these wives, waiting and watching for their husbands. And there was one husband who returned, and his wife wasn't there. He went home and his wife said, "Oh, darling, I've been waiting for you. I'm so glad to see you. Thank God you're back." And he didn't seem moved. She said, "Darling, what's the problem? You don't seem happy to see me." He said, "All the other wives were at the seashore watching. You were home waiting. It's one thing to wait, it's another thing to watch." And the Lord calls upon us to watch in this, the last hour of the fourth watch. Don't fall asleep. In spite of the storm, in spite of the difficulties, stay awake. And as I mentioned, the Lord cares for us. Years ago, most of you won't know this, you're too young, there was a popular jazz and blues singer. Her name was Josephine Baker. And wherever she sang, they demanded that she sing one song. "Stormy weather. Don't know why there's no sun in the sky. Stormy weather, since my man and I ain't together." That was her favorite song. And God saved her through the ministry of Billy Graham. And then she had another favorite song. "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." That's salvation. I was at a meeting again years ago in the northern part of New York State, and a young lady was asked to sing, and she was singing that same song, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." And before she got through the first verse, she broke out in tears and took her seat. I inquired, "What happened?" That week, on a busy thoroughfare in that area, and I've been on that thoroughfare, like 270 and 95, and up there they drive the same as they do down here. The speed limit is 55, so they go at 70. That sort of thing. There she was driving one morning, heavy traffic, and the brakes of her car failed. No brakes. Cars all around. She prayed. She was able to get over into the right lane. But the traffic there was pretty fast too. She prayed some more. The Lord opened the way and she was able to get into the disabled car lane and applied her hand brakes and stopped the car. And when she thought of that, she could not finish that song. "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." He was watching her. And he's watching us. And I want to emphasize again that this is the last watch and the last hour of the last watch. And I ask again, is everybody within the sound of my voice ready for the Lord to come? It's the last watch. He's coming. Everybody ready? Revelation chapter 3. We'll soon be finished. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 11. The Lord is speaking, and what does he say? Behold, I come quickly. The last watch and the last hour. That's when he appeared to the disciples. He says, I come quickly. Chapter 22, please. Chapter 22, verse 7. Because again the Lord is speaking. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 20. Surely, I come quickly. This is the last hour of the last watch, and the Lord, I like to say, he's on his way. Is everyone here ready for his appearing? If you are not ready for his appearing, after we sing a hymn and close in prayer, there are any number of believers here who would gladly tell you how you can be ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, I know in most meetings, they don't like to sing the same hymn twice. I was at one meeting, and the brother gave out the same hymn the second time. And the sister at the organ, she looked at him. We sang that already. Well, why can't you sing the same hymn twice? 185. He'll come and tarry not. He is coming. And I say again, if you are here, and you're not absolutely sure that he's coming to take you, remain behind. There are any number of believers who will tell you how you can be sure when he comes. And as that last verse in the Revelation reads, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take us away from this place, from these stones. Again, I say, if there's anyone here who is not absolutely sure that you're going to go with him when he comes, stay behind. There are any number of believers who will tell you how you can know that you will be with him when he comes. Shall we pray? Again, Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence divine. We give thee thanks for our coming together this morning to remember the Lord. We give thee thanks for the Sunday school hour, where we were once again reminded of thy stalwart servant Paul. And in these last few minutes we have been considering together the coming of the Lord. We are in the last watch. The last hour of the last watch. Oh, how we need to watch and pray. We are about to leave this sacred enclosure. Take us to our respective places of abode in peace and safety, we pray, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.